I had the opportunity this summer to go on a canoe trip with it ended up being 4 Indigenous women and 8 non-Indigenous women. And the biggest question that arose for me during that period, and it's something that I continue to struggle with throughout this course and this conference, is that there is no space. Where is the space where I can become Indigenous and connect and have a connection to this history of this land and this tradition without appropriating it in a colonial way? I don't know if anybody else asked that question, but that's like my, I don't know where my space is, or how to move forward.
It reminded me a lot of
we can put out another thought up there if you like, but there's
I don't have a question, but synthesizing at the top. The cream that's risen to the top has to do with another indigenous people in Arizona after the U.S. cavalry started ushering to their reservations in the mid-1890s. And when I came to the Hopi, to show them where they were going to be. And they said, "We've already found our place." And the cavalry told the government was, "Well, go and have a look at it and see what it's like." And they found a place that was had very little fish, had very little wild game, and the land was not productive. And they said, "Hey, if you guys want to stay here, that's fine." And the cornerstone of the Hopi philosophy is that we are the people we have been waiting for. In other words, government isn't going to do it for us. Consultant isn't going to show up and do it for us. We collectively, around this table, in this room, we are the people we've been waiting for. I think of it so often that how frustrated we all get about government policies, what's happening in this province, and how many of you have talked to politicians or written letters, and you've got a nice letter back, and doesn't make you feel all warm and fuzzy. And so I think that we are the people we've been waiting for. We have to figure out other ways to be creative and rattle their chains. So it's not a question, it's just a feeling that I have from hearing what you're saying.
There's documented inequalities, you can't deny that. If the government's breaking the law, the government's breaking the law, so just have the UN sweep in and start arresting some people. Law is absolute. Or at least that's what we like to believe, even though it's not true. And that's the perfect example of it.
It's amazing that that's the
they're focused on truth, like mind.
And the kids that I went to school with, we talk about that all the time. Yeah, I get this one.
was talking with a lady named Paige Bird during the summer. She told me a story about a Dene community out in Oregon. And they were struggling with a lot of issues, and the government was trying to pour in money and control things and try to help them out with their different issues. And it seemed like, you know, the more the government kind of had a hand in what was going on there, the more problems they had, because the government didn't have a connection to be able to help them out. And I believe it was the chief decided that they would give up their status as a reserve and become whatever it was, a town or a community. And so they forfeited all the money that the government was giving them. They said, okay, how can we solve our problems ourselves and work towards this? And it created a huge gathering of resources, and everyone worked together to make things work. And Paige said she went and saw that community last year, and she said over the past 5-10 years the community has just flourished. I think to really play upon what you said, we are who we've been waiting for. You know? What was your question you had again?
Well, just thinking about, because there feels like there's a barrier sometimes to being connected to the land in an indigenous way, you know, like really belonging to it. Like it seems like in one sense that there's a limit as a settler descendant, right? That there's this history of exploitation that comes from that cultural perspective. And so it's like, I don't know how, like, but as you guys were both saying, you know, we're at the point in time where you just can't wait for permission. You know, you don't, you know, in listening to you guys speak, it's like, you know, I don't need anyone to tell me that. I was talking with my different professor this morning about the same thing. It's almost like I need to not create, but flesh out my own mythology around my relationship to the land and the natural systems, you know? Because I can't take the stories of the different First Nations people, and I reject the story of the settler colonization. So what story am I left with, you know, to be my connection to natural spaces? And I think that maybe we just have to make our own, you know, like, as humbly as you can do that, you know, like, I don't know.
And I think that's what made the Idle No More movement so strong, because everyone brought their own connection to the movement, and that really helped build a lot of strength to it. You know, she talked about how everyone had their different idea of what Idle No More was. And, you know, community to community, it was a little bit different, but it really helped make a difference worldwide.
Yeah. Well, even in this conference, starting out by what is drawing us to what is each one of our connections to a natural area, to a land base, and when you begin to nurture those seeds of love for the natural spaces, like that has such a potential to grow into something larger, something really grounding.
Yeah.
But it is difficult to sometimes, like, because you don't have that same belonging of belonging to a nation, you know? Like, that's the part that I think is discouraging sometimes when you're trying to have these conversations because, you know, even when I talk to my own family who are also all farmers, they're, you know, there's this defensiveness that comes up where it's like, well, of course we take care of the land. Why would it be, you know, why wouldn't we take care of the land? It's our livelihood. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not trying to start a fight here. I just want to have a conversation about how we're doing that because I don't even understand what you guys are doing with the land that you have, how you steward that. So share with me those stories. But we're even reluctant to share the stories of how we love the land because we're worried. There's all of this guilt and shame and fear that we are the descendants of that particular settler story, that exploitative story, you know? It's, for me anyway, it's kind of a tough barrier to break.